So our text tonight is found in the book of Genesis, Genesis and chapter 24. Genesis and chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted, and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house, and room for the camels." And the man came in the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord have blessed my master greatly, and is become great, and have given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him have he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my master's house, unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son." And I said unto my master, "Peradventure the woman will not follow me." And he said unto me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath." And I came this day unto the well, and said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord have appointed out of my master's house." And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water, and said, and I said unto her, "Let me drink, I pray thee, And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men, and they were with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away. So he rose up and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Ahuroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The title of our message tonight is Lovingly Drawn. Lovingly Drawn. Those who come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ are lovingly drawn. Lovingly, gently, and yet gently forced. They are made to desire that one who they had no desire of before. They are lovingly drawn to one who they have never seen before. Now, you know, in various cultures, it is not, even this day, unusual for arranged marriages to take place. Now, of course, those to whom such practices are an alien concept immediately throw up their hands and declare many things about it. Those who these things are an alien concept to, an alien practice, they look down on such and frown upon this, presuming always that it always be the case, presuming that it is always is a forced marriage against one or both parties' wills. Well, this might be the case sometimes. Sometimes only. But not always. Not always. Ignorant people will presume upon anything. People who are ignorant of the facts. But when you hear many people who have come to a state of matrimony through an arranged marriage, many are lovingly happy. Lovingly happy. And they have a totally different perspective from what people presume. You see, talk to some people who have had an arranged marriage. I wonder, do you know anyone who's had an arranged marriage? I know people who've had arranged marriages. Some work, some don't work. But talk to some people who have had an arranged marriage, meeting with the spouse in advance, which is quite often the case, if not always. Getting to know them. Such people testify of a special love that grows after the wedding. A love in many aspects. Someone I know, I have to say someone I know in this case because this is recorded, but someone I know from such a culture, in looking at the wedding photo of a particular lady, the daughter of someone I know, commented on the picture of the bridegroom, saying, and I quote, "This was definitely a love marriage." Why? They went on to say, "This was definitely a love marriage because he is so ugly." That's exactly what she said. Well, God's elect are a chosen people in him. A chosen people in him who is the altogether lovely one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of in the Song of Solomon in chapters 1 and 2 of this beloved. He's so fair, he's so wonderful, he's so desirable. God's elect are a chosen people, chosen in Christ, in him, to be joined in spiritual union, oneness to him, who naturally, though, we must not forget, naturally, outside of new birth, outside of God's illuminating, naturally, God's people they would not seek after him, nor be attracted to him in any way. In any way. Not the true Christ, not the real Jesus. Man does not want Christ. Man does not want Jesus. Not the real Jesus. Isaiah 53, that great declaration of the gospel, even in the Old Testament, it could have been, as has been well said, could even have been written post the life on this earth and death, resurrection, death, burial, resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could have been written after that. So graphic are the words here. That great declaration of the gospel, speaking how indeed Christ is the one who woos and draws his people to come to him. And yet, verses 2 to 3 says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That was us. That was us before God wooed us by his gracious love. God's people are by faith are those who by faith, not by sight, are made to want and desire Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. And see here in this account of Abraham sending his servant to bring a wife for Isaac, his son, a great picture of Christ and his church. It surely shows us once again this wondrous truth of irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. The scriptures, you see, they speak of Christ in every page. Firstly, we see the servant had to be sent. That was paramount. A servant had to be sent. When we apply this to the gospel call of God's grace, God's prescribed way, his prescribed way, is that he raises up a preacher who must first be sent to preach the gospel of God's grace. This is imperative. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Verse 10. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, first of all, Abraham had to send his servant. Rachel wasn't just going to come. We have this prevailing attitude on the opposite extreme in the church itself, the Church of Christ. It has been there for many decades, many centuries. There's either this extreme which proclaims the falsehood that God is just waiting to save everyone, which is not true. And on the other hand, though, such as would hold to the truth of this fundamental gospel truth we proclaim, of the doctrines of grace, would go so far to the other extreme that they wait, as it were. They wouldn't say it this way, but as it were, that the elect of God would just almost fall out of the sky through the roof of their chapels without the gospel being sent forth. Now the servant must be sent. The servant must be sent. The gospel must be preached. The servant must be sent in actually going forth, in taking, evangelizing the gospel. But also, the gospel must always be proclaimed from the pulpit. The gospel is always sent. As surely as Abraham saw it was essential for his servant to go and bring a wife for Isaac from among his brethren, so the Lord sends his people of his choice, who he trusts. He sends his people with the gospel, yes, into all the world, he says, quite adamantly, go into all the world. But it is only brought to be known by God the Holy Spirit, revealing to the one who is one of those for whom Christ gave himself a ransom. And God sees through everything. God sees through every minute detail. Oh, what joy and what rejoicing this servant knew. A simple prayer. We don't know. We're not told how great was his faith in praying this prayer. But no sooner as the words had been uttered in his heart, he prays these words. He's still praying, and the Lord's already answered him, because the Lord's led him all the way. He leads his servants to the right people at the right time. The elect, the ones Christ is not ashamed to call them brethren, we're told. Abraham knew that the one that must come forth, that must be joined to his son, is one of his brethren. The servant of Abraham knew not what would happen. He could not know, just as no preacher can know. No one knows. No one knows but God himself. But prayed to the Lord and prayed that he would direct him to the one of his choice. That was his prayer. So much prayer is when you hear people praying about salvation, about the salvation of the lost. It ends in discouragement. Why is that? It's because people don't pray biblically. They don't pray according to God's will. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pray for those that we know and love, because we don't know who God's elect are. But we must always pray within God's will. Ultimately, the theme of the prayer is, lead us to the one. Bring your gospel to the one who is of your choosing, not my choosing. The Lord guided Abraham's servant to the right place as well, at the right time. This could be no chance encounter. I'm not a mathematician. I wish I was and I could have worked this out maybe. But I really don't know the percentage or the odds. I'm not a bookie. I could have worked out the odds. It would have been great. 1,000 to 1, 1,000,000 to 1, what is it? But this should all be arranged at the right place, at the right time, the right girl. To say the right words. Just at that very time when the daughter of Milcah came to draw water. You see, everything happens at the precise moment. At the precise moment. At the precise moment, God has purposed. And no moment later, no moment before. There's only one moment that counts. And that's why, as the Apostle Paul cries out, we can faithfully and with confidence cry out those words, behold, now is the appointed hour. Today is the day of salvation. We can say that. Because we don't know whether it is the appointed hour of the one listening in. That's not our business. Our business is to proclaim the word of God. God will see to the rest. Yes, everything, every minute detail was seen to by God here, who worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. He arranges for the right individual to be present. The right individual to be present. Right individual or individuals? But I say individual because it's a personal thing, isn't it, salvation? It's you. It's me. It's the one who's come, who's been brought to salvation. It's been brought to do business with God. No one else. No one else matters at that point. No one else is involved. He brings the right individual to be present when the gospel is sent forth, when it's proclaimed. And such a one who must be saved. Rebecca was the one. She was the one that must come to be the wife of Isaac. There was no other. There was no other. Rebecca trusted Isaac, we see secondly. She trusted that Isaac, a man she'd never met nor heard of, she trusted Isaac was the right one for her to be married to without seeing him. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. Even in this culture of the day of arranged marriages, nonetheless, we don't hear any questioning here. She received gladly the call to trust Isaac as her husband. That's a big thing. We who trust the Lord Jesus, the lover of our soul, he says, blessed are them who believe having not seen. We've never seen the Lord Jesus with our eyes, have we? And yet we have seen. We have seen by faith. Because he has shone in our hearts. God, the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to reveal God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, we have beheld our beloved. Observe, if you will, with Rebecca, although this being given in marriage to Isaac, whom she had not met before, was purposed by another. We see those involved, her family here. The call of Abraham through his servant. Yet she somehow was won over to the union. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I go. These brethren of Abraham had heard somehow the gospel which was preached to him, to Abraham, years before. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And so in faith they blessed Rebekah, didn't they? They blessed Rebekah, we just read. That you'd be a mother of thousands of millions. You see, they saw beyond the physical. They saw not just Isaac, whom Rebekah was to be wed to, the promised seed, and the physical seed that would come, plural, through him, but they saw that which we read of in Galatians 3. Somehow they believed by faith. They believed in the seed, singular, who was to come, their saviour. And so in faith they blessed Rebekah. And Rebekah, like all the elect of God, when God comes and calls by his Spirit, was gently made willing to go. Gently made willing to go. She was not cajoled. She was not kidnapped. She was not forced in any way. There is no implication of it here. Although those who perhaps were over her in her family had decided that they believed that this was of the Lord, she was not forced. She was not forced. There was no indication of this in any way. But yet she is made gently, made willing to go. God's word saying of all God's people, all those who come to Christ, those who are drawn to Christ, they shall be made willing in the day of thy power. Oh, made willing, but in the day of thy power. But it's not just a willingness that's a disgruntled, I suppose I better go. There is, we are made to desire this one. To desire this Christ. For what made this young lady go with Abraham's servant to be wed to the son of promise, Isaac? What made her go? Surely not just duty. That might have been involved. We're not told, really. But it can't just be duty to her family. Otherwise, she would not have been asked in any way, will you go? Here was a lady of faith, trusting that which had been told her was the will of God. She was drawn, as indeed God's elect, each one, as Christ says, are those particularly chosen and brought to him. None can come unto me unless the Father which sent me draw him. Oh, wondrously drawn. Not understanding how drawn. Mysteriously drawn. Lovingly drawn. But made to want Christ. She wanted to go. This was no forced marriage. And the people of God, those who did not desire Christ before, when God comes, when God does that work of grace, is irresistible. It makes Christ irresistible. That we just have to go. We've just got to go with him. But thirdly, when she came to behold Isaac, she honoured him as her husband. There's no salvation. I don't believe there's any salvation where people are just jumping up and down believing in a happy-go-lucky Jesus who makes everything all right. Everything's going to be well, and you get this and you get that. And there's no reverence for Christ. I don't believe there's any salvation there. Without repentance, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Without humility, there could be no being lifted up. When she came to Isaac, she honoured him as her husband. We read, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Those coming to Christ by faith, this one is caused to desire who Christ is, to inquire after him. We read of Rebekah inquiring, who is this? Who is this? Who is this man? You see, there is a coming to know God. And it's amazing, it was stated to me some time after I came to faith, and then I was directed to look at events that were taking place, and I saw that I was actually being born again. I couldn't put my finger on it, calling it that. But this was all me being born again, being brought to inquire after Christ, to want him. And she says, who is he? Who is he? He's my master, the servant says. The Lord Jesus says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. And as soon as the servant revealed clearly who Isaac was, Rebekah gave him due respect. Note this. This is the one who is to love you. This is the one who cherishes you. This is the one who desires to take care of you. This is the one that you have been brought to be wed with. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. The discretion here showing a respect of who Isaac was. A true sign of conversion, you see, of one whose heart is constrained within by the love of Christ. Thus this true sign is a reverence toward this Saviour. A reverence that can be given to none other. None other. A willing obedience to God's will that in all things Christ should have the preeminence. That's why she alighted off her camel. To pay him a due respect. For we see this is what we must do. We must acknowledge Christ. If we don't acknowledge Christ as who he is, he's not ruling. He's not ruling in our heart. And he's not indeed in our heart. And we don't love him. If we don't acknowledge him as who he is. But here, don't lose sight of these wonderful words here. Towards the final part of this chapter 24. For Isaac, we have not much written here, but enough. Isaac was immediately in love with Rebekah. Immediately in love with Rebekah. Verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Now, it could have just said that. In fact, there are many similar verses in the scriptures. Took one to be their wife and then knew her and she conceived. It doesn't just say that, does it? Doesn't just say that. She wasn't just a wife. She wasn't just this woman that was brought from among the brethren of Abraham out of convenience. She wasn't just some mere concubine. She became his wife. And he loved her. He cherished her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We read of this wonderful picture of Christ's great love for his church, for his people, for his elect, and the love back towards Christ. In the Song of Solomon and chapter 2, he has brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Love. Cherished. Cherished of God. But unlike Isaac, who was a mere type here, a mere picture, the true Christ, his love didn't begin. His love didn't begin. It wasn't even demonstrated after we came to him. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He's demonstrated in time. God demonstrating his love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're brought to experience that love. When he draws us with loving kindness. And we're made to desire him, and then we experience that love in a personal way. A love that has always been upon us. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Something struck me there as we close. Something struck me very, very important. He was comforted after his mother's death. He was comforted after the wounds, the mourning of death. And we see pictured here the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, who was this man of sorrows. Christ, who indeed went through the pangs of death. Has tasted death for every man. And Isaiah says these words. Christ, after his sufferings and death, we are told even before these things took place, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, Isaac was comforted and satisfied with the love of his life now. And Christ, whenever one of his elect comes and is brought by irresistible grace to trust him, he's satisfied. And those wounds, those pangs of death, they're comforted. They're comforted. What a great love with which God has loved us, that he should indeed draw us by such grace to make us willing, to make us love him. And if only our love could match his great love for us, we pray that God would indeed increase it in us daily as we walk with him. Amen.